And when you see all these things happening, we're to lift up our heads and not get discouraged and overwhelmed by it all and not become fearful. But we should be people of faith. God's blessed us with hope beyond this world. Praise God. I'm excited about our camp meeting. Looking forward to all these people coming in. And very thankful that God has blessed us to have such a good meeting. And, you know, some people have to travel thousands of miles. We're going to have some folks from California here and different places. You know, people come a long ways to be here at camp meeting. And it's just right down the road from practically all of us. So, amen, it's exciting that the Lord's blessed us to have such a good camp meeting right here in our own home church. Praise God. I want to read from Luke chapter 10. And Brother Terry got up a little while ago and said that he felt like that we should be like the Good Samaritan to a lot of hurting people that's coming in. And I've been thinking about this scripture ever since that he has said that, and I didn't know if I needed to preach on it or not, but I felt like preaching from it tonight. And so in Luke chapter 10, the Gospel of Luke chapter 10 and verse 25, it says this, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up. Now, that's not a lawyer like we think of nowadays. These were people that studied the law of Moses, and they were considered experts in the law of Moses and taught people the law of Moses. So he was like a teacher in the law. But this lawyer stood up and tempted him. His motive was wrong. This is what he said, Master, that sounds real respectful, but his heart was wrong. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? I want you to notice how backward that is. When you inherit something, it's given to you, isn't it? And yet he's wanting to do something to inherit eternal life. We all know salvation's by faith, right? Amen. But he had that mentality, I'm going to do something to inherit this. Well, I'll just tell you, when you start off wrong, you're going to mess up, aren't you? But anyways, and Jesus answered him back, your lawyer. In other words, he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And this man combined two scriptures, one from Leviticus, one from Deuteronomy. And he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. And then this is a separate scripture, and thy neighbor as thyself. Well, that if somebody does that perfectly, they can go to heaven. Amen. But there's only been one person do that perfectly. That's Jesus Christ. He's the only one. Everybody else is messed up on this right here. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do. You know, he's taking him where he is. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said, this do. You do this perfectly, and thou shalt live. You're going to go to heaven if you do this perfectly. If you do that, if you follow that, you never break that, you never sin, you're going to go to heaven. He's doing this to really bring about conviction in his heart, I believe. But he willing to justify himself, and that's the problem with about everybody that's lost. They somehow want to justify themselves. Either God understands their sin, or God's going to weigh it out in the end, say they're a better person, you know, and by their works they're going to go to heaven. But he willing to justify himself said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Surely conviction was getting a hold of him right there. Because he's wanting to justify himself, take away his guilt. To justify himself, that means he was guilty, doesn't it sound like to you? And Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor to him that fell among the thieves? And he said, now he couldn't say Samaritan. You notice this here. This guy just couldn't say the Samaritan. That's the way I'd have said it. But this Jewish man that couldn't stand Samaritans said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto them, go and do thou likewise. And I want to preach on things we need in order to be good Samaritans, or the things the Samaritan had that we need. But I will start off by saying I think one of the best messages I ever heard preach on the Good Samaritan, I think Chip Roy preached it one time. He preached on the price of being a good Samaritan. He said the price of not being a good Samaritan. In other words, he talked about what we needed to do. That took some price. But he said also, if you don't, if you're not a good Samaritan, there's a greater price to pay than if you go ahead and just sacrifice and help somebody. And then his third point was Jesus Christ paid the price to be the good Samaritan. I always thought that was a great message. But at any rate, I'm going to preach to you here just a little bit, if the Lord would help me, and let you know that these three things the Good Samaritan had, he had compassion. That's what he did. That's what brought the healing. He had compassion, he had a cure, and he also had a continuation in taking care of the person. That's my 3 points. And so the first thing I want to talk to you about is that he had compassion upon this poor, wounded individual. And what type of compassion is needed by all of us, really, to help this wounded world? We'll have to admit, the world is wounded. Amen. Fell among thieves. Satan has come and stolen so much good out of this world. There's little children that's been abused. There's families that's been torn apart. There's people living in turmoil right now in certain cities, wondering what's going to go on. There are people fearful for their lives in certain areas, even of this once great and peaceful nation. I'm telling you, there's some wounded people in our world. There's people that have wounds that so festered up that they can't hardly think right. They're in a strange world, if I could put it this way. They're seeing things. They're having hallucinations. Their fever of sin is so great and powerful. Now, there are some people that's been wounded because of their own sin, and others because of the sins of others. And still yet, there are many that are just wounded because of the curse that's upon this old planet, because sin has come into it. But we live in a wounded world. There are sinners that are wounded, and there are Christians that are wounded. And I know if we's going to get into the perfect typology of here, and I might preach on this just a little bit at the end, the perfect typology, of course, is Jesus is the Good Samaritan, and he heals our wounded, sinful hearts. Praise God. But at the same time, He gave this as an example. He said, go thou and do thou likewise. In other words, you're supposed to do like I do. Amen. And so how did he have compassion upon this man? Well, first of all, there was two fellows that did not have compassion. And the first one was a priest. And as he came down, this was a dangerous area, according to all historical accounts. This was a dangerous area. It's obvious from the story it was dangerous. And the priest came and looked and saw him laying there and passed by on the other side. It's possible that this could be maybe for two reasons. First of all, thieves and robbers and killers back in that day would set out somebody that either looked hurt or was hurt to try to get people to stop and then ambush them and rob them and kill them. They still do that in other countries. I was with a preacher in another country and we went past a dead man on the side of the road. We just kept right on rolling. We didn't tell the police at the checkpoint or anything. And I asked why later, and they said, well, in our country, there are murderers and robbers that will put dead people out on the side of the road and try to get you to stop so they can kill you and take your stuff. Well, I just, and said, you didn't tell the police, because if you told the police, they'd arrest you and put you in jail until you proved you didn't kill the guy. That kind of a bad predicament, isn't it? Amen. So, there was a possibility of danger here. Maybe the priest didn't want to risk it. But also a priest, if he touched somebody that died, let's just say this man died, he would be unclean for 7 days. And so he didn't want to be unclean. And there's all kinds of possibilities of why he did not have compassion. But I have a feeling, if he really had compassion in his heart, he would have risked it. And I really think that if he'd have had compassion in his heart, it wouldn't have mattered if he'd have had 7 days that he was unclean. Amen. But sometimes we find just the same type of excuses, don't we? Amen. I'm too busy doing the Lord's work to stop right now, or something along that line. But we got to be careful lest we make excuses for ourselves. And then the second fella came, and the Bible says that he went over and looked at him. And so he got a closer look, but he still passed by on the other side. He was curious, but he was not compassionate. Again, I tell you, there's some people want to know the latest news, but they really don't have a deep concern about people. They want to know everything that's going on, but it's not really because they love people. They love to know everything that's going on. They've got an inquiring mind, I guess you could say. And they just want to know about everything. And they got a gossiping heart, I'm afraid, sometimes. And so this fella just had a little bit of curiosity, but he didn't have compassion. Then this Samaritan, this fella that even the lawyer wouldn't pronounce that word Samaritan. He wouldn't even say who he was that had compassion and that showed the example. He wouldn't do that. This Samaritan looked upon him. He came to where he was. I like that. And if you're really going to show compassion, you got to kind of have a little bit of coming to where people are. Amen. The second thing was, he looked upon him, but he didn't look like these other fellows. Amen. He looked and had a sympathetic look. You know, you have to kind of put yourself in people's shoes, so to say. Amen. You have to understand that we're not always just going to go through life and never have any trouble ourselves. Every one of us, I suppose, has been wounded in some way or another, either by self-inflicted sinful wounds or hurts and wounds by tragedies of this life, or maybe somebody else that's been sinful. And so we who have been hurt ought to be able to sympathize with people who are hurt. Amen. If God could save us, couldn't he save anybody? And if God could heal our hearts, don't you think he could heal anybody's heart? Whatever problem somebody's went through, it may be more tragic. It may be worse than what we've ever went through. What I've went through may be nothing compared to you, but I've still been hurt and wounded, and I know the Lord has healed me. And I also know this, that God has used my hurts and my wounds to help heal other people that have been hurt in a similar manner. I have to admit there'd been a few times that I visited people that were either going through things like I had went through, or they were contemplating doing stuff that hurt me really bad in the past. And I was able to talk to those people, and I feel like the Lord avenged me of my adversary and helped me lead some people out of those wounds and hurts that I'd had. Let me just tell you something. This man evidently knew what it was like to be hurt himself. He was a Samaritan. He had been rejected. He had been put off. And so he had some sympathy towards this other fella. And therefore, I believe everybody here could look and say, boy, there's been times I went to church and I needed help. There's been times I went to the house of God and I was wounded down deep inside. And I needed the Spirit of God to come by and help me. I believe that everybody here has been in that position. And so here he was. We don't want to pass by on the other side and make excuses like the priest did, even though they may sound high and mighty excuses. And we don't want to just look out of curiosity. We need to get involved like this Samaritan did. He got involved in somebody's need, in somebody's heart. Amen. This fellow was in bad shape, but this Samaritan said, I have to get involved in what is going on in this man's life. That's compassion, my friend. Amen. When you look and learn and you're just curious, that's not compassion. When we continually make excuses, that's not compassion. But when our hearts are moved by what we see going on and we say we have to do something about this. Amen. And I think that in our world, it's easier to curse the darkness than to light a candle. But I think it's time to light a candle, amen, and start doing something against the darkness. So this man had compassion upon him. But he also went to him and had a beginning, at least, of the cure. He had with him oil and wine. Amen. And I read an old writer, Pliny, that said a lot of times they would take sweet wine, which we call grape juice, and mingle it with oil and put it on wounds to help heal the wound. And so this fella had wine and oil with him. He didn't have to go buy it at the supermarket. He didn't have to go find if there was a store open that had it. He had some oil. He had some wine. Now, you could typify this several different ways, but I'm just going to say, hey man, at the communion service, the wine speaks of the blood of Jesus Christ. And many a times we talk of the oil as being the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Friend, if we're going to have a camp meeting that heals hearts, we're going to have to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ that bled and died upon an old rugged cross. Amen. And we're going to have the anointing of the Holy Ghost in order to make sure these wounds are healed. Hallelujah. I thank God for Sister Curtisine's testimony here tonight, how that 30 years ago, God saved her soul at camp meeting. The blood was applied. The anointing of the Holy Ghost was there, and her sins were healed. And now here she's been able to influence her family, her children and grandchildren in the house of God. Let me just tell you something right now. God wants to do that again. He wants to heal sinners' hearts again. He wants to heal backsliders' hearts again. Yes, he does. Amen. He wants to do it again, maybe even tonight. If you're lost, God can heal your sin-sick soul. Whatever the wound is, amen, the blood of Jesus Christ and the anointing of the Holy Ghost can heal up every wound that sin has caused. I also want to proclaim to you, amen, that that oil and wine can also heal those that come that are perplexed by the powers of hell, amen, that are distracted by the turmoil of their strifeful life. Amen. There's going to be people coming in here that their world is turned upside down. They've just got the worst news that they could think of. Maybe they're needing a healing in their body. Amen. How many knows the blood of Jesus can take care of any sickness that we have in our bodies? And the anointing of the Holy Ghost can have us have a gift of the Spirit, the gift of healings and miracles. But you know as well, there's going to be broken-hearted people that come, amen, that there really isn't any fix on the outside. It's going to have to take place in their hearts and in their minds, and they're going to have to be healed way down deep inside. They need a church that don't have to go borrow from somebody else the anointing of the Holy Ghost. They have it prayed down right here already in the church service. Amen. We don't have to borrow a message. We already got our message. It's Christ crucified and risen again that overcomes every problem and pain in somebody's life. Amen. So I want to pray, let Christ be exalted. Let the blood be exalted. Amen. Let the blood of Jesus Christ, amen, be pled over the congregation until every demonic power has to leave this place. Amen. Tell every sinner's free. Every suicidal person is delivered. Every drug addict does not have to go back to their drugs. Every broken family is healed. Amen. Everybody that's living in a life of turmoil will have the peace of God. Let it happen, Lord. Let the anointing so come down upon every preacher and singer that they have such freedom and liberty to preach and sing to where that, you know, listen, I've been in services where something the preacher said, something someone testified about, just maybe even a sentence, so met my need, so helped me right there. But I've been in church services where it wasn't what somebody said, it was just the anointing of the Holy Ghost that was there. Have you ever heard somebody say, you know, I can't remember what the preacher preached, but I got saved? Or I can't remember what the preacher preached, but in the altar the Lord done so. Listen, amen, God can apply that by the power of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And oh, let's pray, church, pray until we already purchased the oil and the wine. Amen. We already got it in our possession. We're not looking for it. Say, where was that? I know. I'll tell you that. That is exactly what we need right here. We've got a sinner that needs to be healed up. We got a backslider that needs to be healed up. We got a preacher, amen, that's been having such problems. He needs direction in his life. He needs healing in his mind. And I know exactly what they need. They need the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. Amen. They need the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. But I don't want to have to go buy it from somebody else. Amen. I want them to bring it with them. But I'll tell you what. I want us to have a supply of the anointing of the Holy Ghost and the blood of Jesus right here. Amen. Where we purchased it in prayer and fasted and seeking the Lord. How's that secure? He had it with him. He had it with him. Didn't have to go beg and borrow from somebody else. He had it with him. Glory to God. Amen. And then he had a continuance. He took him to an inn. He paid the price. Listen, this took, listen, he risked his life to a certain extent. He risked his own harm. He did. He gave of his time. He gave of his oil and wine. And he gave of his money. I know some people say, well, camp meeting's expensive. I've never heard anybody complain like that here. And it is expensive, but it's worth it. Glory to God. Amen. You know what we're trying to do? We're trying to keep people healed up. We're trying to get, we're wanting there to be such an atmosphere in this camp meeting. Amen. Where somebody that's in need and broken lives can be put back together again. Amen. Let's pay the price. Let's do what we can to make this a wonderful camp meeting and let the Lord move and change lives. And so that's what we need. We need compassion. We need the cure. That's the blood of Jesus and the anointing. And we need to continue on until these people are completely healed. But I also want to turn this message just a little bit and remind you, amen, that when we do this, we become somewhat like Jesus Christ. Amen, because Jesus really is the Good Samaritan. Amen, what the law and the prophets could not do. Amen, when sin had taken a man down. Amen. From Jericho, from Jerusalem to Jericho, I think there was a drop in altitude about 2,000 feet in 17 miles. Let me tell you, sin will bring you down. It not only brings you down, it will rob you and steal all your good sense. Amen. It'll strip you of all your decency and leave you half dead. Amen. And wanting you to die. Amen. And be lost in hell forever. Amen. All of a sudden the law comes by. Amen. And the prophets come by and they say, I can't heal anything. But then all of a sudden a despised and rejected one comes by. Amen. One that had a name that was so bad people did not want to speak his name. Amen. They rebelled against Jesus' name. But he came by and he had what it took to completely heal that sinner that had fell by the wayside. He picked him up and carried him to a place he called an inn. Amen. A convalescent sinner. And said, listen, I'm going to pay you a little bit, but I'm really going to pay you the full price when I come back again. Amen. I believe the Lord's wanting to drop off some sinners right by our church and say, church, take care of these sinners. Amen. Heal them up. Church, take care of these wounded people. I'm going to pay you while I'm here, but I'm just going to tell you when I come back again, you're really going to get paid for taking care of these sinners. Hallelujah. I believe the church is the convalescent sinner. The Good Samaritan drops off his patients at. Whew. Oh, glory to God. I most definitely want to have what the Good Samaritan had in order to heal people's souls. Could we all stand? Let's thank Jesus Christ for coming where we were and healing us. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you. I want to praise you and magnify you and lift up your holy name. Lord, when I was weak and wounded, you blessed me and came to me, and I thank you for healing my spiritual soul. God, I pray that you'd heal people during this camp meeting. Help us to be ready. Bless us to have the anointing of the Holy Ghost and the power of the blood of Jesus Christ to make a difference in people's lives. Lord, move by your power. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I'd like for us all to come around this altar. Let's ask God to lift up Jesus in our camp meeting. Let's ask God for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And let's pray for people to be miraculously healed, spirit, soul, and body. Oh, yes. Hallelujah.